Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action, episode 12. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And you can follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, any exciting stories over the weekend, Steve?
Yeah, I had a great weekend filled with sports, a lot of Indiana sports. I went home and visited the family, and we were in Bloomington for Friday night watching the Indiana Hoops team play against Montana State.
Okay.
And then drove back to Indy and back to Bloomington the next morning for the big college football game, Indiana and Maryland.
Awesome.
That was equally exciting, but frigid. And then Sunday, my dad and I went to see the Jaguars play the Colts.
Oh, that was a good game.
Yeah, it was a great game. The Colts held on in the second half for a victory despite not scoring. It was amazing.
Yeah, the Jags had a chance at the end. What happened at the end exactly? There was some sort of weird... Is there a runoff or something?
The Jaguars fumbled.
Oh, they fumbled.
And the Colts recovered the fumble, ended the game. Yeah, it was a big moment.
Yeah, that was great. That's awesome. But and then from a betting perspective, you did okay?
Yeah, I had some money on the Indiana under on Friday night in the basketball game. Their defense lit it up. They held Montana State to 0.49 points per possession and 35 total points. It was actually the second lowest total in Assembly Hall history.
Wow.
Since 1971.
That's getting it done.
And then Saturday, I had a little bit of money on Maryland on the money line. So that one didn't come through as they lost 34-32. But I did recover a little bit on the over in that game.
Okay.
And then Sunday, consequently, I had the Jaguars plus three, which ended up pushing.
Yeah, exactly.
So nice. Not too bad in my Indiana sports weekend.
Not bad. That's a good... And you were in action for that. That's great.
Outside of that, my college football weekend was great again. I killed it up plenty of units. And then Sunday was mediocre, ended up about even on the end of the day. Gotcha. How about you?
Yeah, I've been. It's been inverse for me. My college days, I guess, are over. My once triumphant period is gone. I was 1-2 in college. Thankfully, had Utah cover late. But I'm 2-0 in the NFL again. I've been just kind of keeping it small. But as I was saying before the pod, I'm 8-0 in the last 4 weeks in the NFL.
That's incredible, especially with how some of us have been getting hammered in the NFL the last month or so.
But look at my ATS in my pool, because with my buddies, I'm still at the very bottom and can't really gain any ground. But this was the first week I got to win Mahar's pool, so I was really excited about that. Get some cash back in the pocket, almost at break even in that pool.
Nice. Well, hopefully you and I can relive our college days this weekend and win some money in the process.
I like that. I like that. So to a bar near you this weekend.
Yeah.
So. And then we have an update about Duffel Bag Better. What was the latest for him?
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of news on him this week. The only bet that I saw come through the wire was a $50,000 parlay with Buffalo, which won easily in midweek action. And then he also had Michigan covering the big number, 39.5 at Rutgers.
Right.
And didn't unfortunately for him, they didn't make it to the window on that one.
That's only 50K. That's nothing. That's only half a bag for a duffel bag boy.
Drop in the bucket.
Well, awesome. Let's review a little bit overall for the pod now. We've got a brief legislative update about that Florida amendment. We'll recap our head-to-head section. We'll talk about the NFL from week 10. No mailbag this week. We have college football and both what we saw this past weekend and the look ahead. And then we'll jump back into the NFL. NFL, we'll look at our statistics like we do every week, some key injuries this week, which are huge, our situational spots for the NFL, a brief survivor segment, and then our head-to-head segment. I see you have a fun topic of Le'Veon Bell's next team futures. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's official. He ain't playing this year.
Exactly. Who needs $14.5 million? And then we'll talk briefly about college hoops, review some information. You've got some ideas. And then one big note for the NBA. Anything else?
No, it looks like a great show.
Yeah, I'm excited. So let's jump right into it. This legislative update, as we talked about last week, Florida voters last Tuesday approved the amendment that strips the state legislature of the power to expand gambling, including sports betting. So we may have misinterpreted this last week. We kind of discussed this. It sounds like now if there's going to be changes, then all of the citizenry have to vote on it to make changes in the current laws, which kind of protects the existing controls for example, the casinos on Indian reservations.
Yeah, essentially the Seminole tribe, which now owns and operates all of the casinos in Florida, now have a huge leg up because they are essentially keeping the status quo. And any changes that are going to be made to sports gambling in the state or any gambling in the state have to be put up by a citizen petition for the entire state to vote on.
Right. You said earlier before the pod started that FanDuel and DraftKings, other kind of national platforms, are, don't really like this because then they're going to have to lobby the entire state instead of just a few key legislators to get something done. So maybe a bit of a loss in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hurts the chances of statewide sports gambling in Florida.
Yeah. Sorry, Floridians. All right, well, let's jump into our recap for the head-to-head. As I mentioned, my college touch is gone. You took game one, which was Kentucky at Tennessee. Kentucky was favored by 6 points, and it looks like your handicap was right on, that the Wildcats kind of were crushed after the week before loss to Georgia, and now they didn't show up. They lost 24-7.
Yeah, that was definitely a flat spot coming for the Kentucky Wildcats, and Tennessee is a tough team at home. That's now 17 straight home victories for Tennessee over the Kentucky Wildcats, and they held the Kentucky running back Benny Snell in check, under 100 yards again for the third straight game. And I think this is something that's going to continue for the Wildcats. We'll be talking about them later. I'll be looking to fade them again.
Yeah, there might be a blueprint to beat that team now. So unfortunately, my once darlings are not covering for me.
It was a fun run while it lasted, though.
It was. Our second game was Mississippi State at Alabama. We rated that at 25.5, and that's exactly what you needed almost. The total is 52. As you might have seen the game was out of control early, you know, typical Alabama cover in the first half, but then they basically pulled the starters. I think Tua was actually a little banged up. I don't think he played much in the fourth quarter. And they won 24-0, didn't get the cover, so I lose again.
Yeah, I missed the first half, but I actually went on the opposite side this week and had Mississippi State in the first half plus 15.5. And I read that it was a bad beat, really. I didn't see the highlights, but I read that Alabama tacked on a late touchdown in the second quarter, which ended up covering the first half. But thankfully, that Mississippi State defense really held on in the second half. And the one takeaway that I took from the second half was that defensive line from Mississippi State were really getting after the quarterback. Tua looked kind of gimpy, which obviously didn't help his mobility. But this is something that I'm going to put in the back of my mind for the playoffs. If they come up against that Michigan D-line or that Clemson D-line, the 14 points I've got in my back pocket, and maybe even looking at betting Clemson in those matchups.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there's something to it. Looks like some strong defensive lines can take care of Alabama, especially if Tua's not mobile. So I like that angle. All right, we get to the NFL, and Wegg strikes back here. So game one was Carolina at Pittsburgh. That was a Thursday night game. We talked about this. Both teams were playing really good football going into this game. Pittsburgh was favored by 4 at home. Total was 51.5. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, that total was blown away
by the Steelers.
And it looks like Carolina just didn't show up on Thursday night.
Yeah, McCaffrey showed up. He had 3 touchdowns, but that was about all the Panthers did on Thursday. Roethlisberger was just throwing touchdown after touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, and the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't slow down. One thing that I took away was really how much of an advantage that home game is on a Thursday night.
It is.
And it's like double when they're playing against a non-conference opponent because they have no time to prepare for these opponents. And the home team has an incredible advantage, something that I'm going to be looking for this week.
Yeah, I think the other thing is Ron Rivera is pretty bad on Thursday nights. That's what I've heard. And he really doesn't get his team to play for some reason. And this has been kind of a consistent theme throughout his career, so I would look at that angle as well if you see Carolina on Thursday night again. So, and the final was 52-21, if I didn't mention that earlier. So Dallas went to Philadelphia. Philadelphia were 6.5-point favorites. The total was 43. I've been talking up this Cowboys defense for a lot, and I'll be talking to him up again this week. And they also had Zeke. Man, Zeke was destroying Philadelphia. 151 yards rushing on 19 carries, two touchdowns. So Dallas won the game 27-20.
Yeah, that one really kind of was the icing on my Sunday cake. I had Philadelphia in quite a number of teasers, and all I needed them to do was pull out the victory in the end. Obviously, covering the 6.5 for our little head-to-head would have been great, but that Dallas defense really put it to them, and their offense was actually moving the ball in the second half. Right. Zeke was awesome. The hurdle play is something that we'll be seeing through the highlights for the rest of the year, I'm sure. That Dallas defense is looking good, and it must be said, everyone always talks up Sean Lee. Well, I think him being out and Vander Esch taking more snaps is a good thing for that team.
When they were talking it up on that actual broadcast, you've got Jalen Smith and Vander Esch in the middle. That's sick speed. They can cover sideline to sideline. They are making plays. I don't know if you saw the key play of the game when Vander Esch kind of beat three blockers to take out the screen pass on a key third down. And the kid can play. I give him a lot of credit. They are comparing him to our guy Urlacher here in Chicago. Maybe. He's definitely tall and athletic. And I love that they always talk about he played eight-man football in high school. So it's cool.
And so another split this week. You took the NFL games. I took the college games. And no ground made up by me. And I should note that you're still leading 24-19-1.
Yeah, I'm just keeping you just one step ahead. All right, well, let's go jump right into the NFL and the takeaways. You first noted the Titans. Remember the Titans. Can't forget them. They just destroyed New England this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota was catching touchdowns, and they really destroyed New England. I got to say that I didn't see this one coming, but it was a big win for them.
Yeah, the Titans are playing a certain brand of football, which I really appreciate. It's kind of a smash-mouth version of football. Defensively, they're playing incredibly. I think that's Vrabel's touch. And then offensively, they're being smart now. They're using Deion Lewis early in the game, and then they're bringing in Derrick Henry late, who's just a battering ram late. If that defense is tired, you can just get pummeled, and that's kind of what happened in this game. Tom Brady didn't look good either. He wasn't throwing the ball very well. Don't know if he has an injury, but the bye comes at the right time for the Patriots. In another game, your Colts, you mentioned it already. What do you have to say about those Colts? You saw them in person.
Well, the offensive line is playing out of their minds right now. They're a top five unit, according to Football Outsiders. Mm-hmm. And that guard, the first round pick out of Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson, was the offensive player of the month last month in the AFC. And he is just taking defenders' souls. I don't know if you saw the video that got tweeted the other day about him crushing the Jaguars safety and just screaming throughout the entire play. How awesome is that?
I love that. It's old school football. It's kind of a pull through. He's just coming through and destroying that guy. That's what he's supposed to do. And I'm glad that I noted that. I don't think Andrew Luck's been sacked in four or five games now.
Yep.
And that's critical. I mean, we talked about that early in the year. We weren't sure how his health was going to be. Well, it's easy when he doesn't get hit.
Yeah, and it should be noted, last year against the Jaguars, the Colts gave up 10 sacks on Andrew Luck. And yesterday the Colts had zero sacks allowed.
Yeah, that's awesome. We talked a little bit already about the Eagles, but what I wanted to note about the Eagles is they're just not the same team this year. And I'm not sure what the makeup is. It could be an offensive play calling. You've got, you know, obviously Reich is in the Colts for you. Mm-hmm. You got DeFilippo in Minnesota. One of the things they keep talking about on VSiN is how many times they converted on third and long last year. It was it kind of beat the odds in terms of how often they converted. And this year they've regressed back to the mean. And so that's kind of what's going on. I note that they don't run the ball. I just don't like the way they run this offense. They don't run the ball enough. I know they've had injuries at running back, but the commitment isn't there. And as good as Wentz is, you've got to change it up on that defense.
Yeah, the Eagles just certainly aren't getting in the same positions that they were last year. I think it also needs to be said that Coach Peterson is still gambling on a lot of these fourth downs. It's been his historical method to go after those fourth down plays. And last year, just by luck, they were making a lot of them. And I think they're seeing the other side of the coin this time around.
Well, they get the Saints this week, so I don't think it's going to get much better. That team's good. And our last comment here is the Saints. I think the Saints are the best team in the NFL. I know you've been on them since the beginning of the year. I like them a lot. I have them in the playoffs from the beginning, but clearly they're playing incredible football. Now, the Bengals stink, and they fired the defensive coordinator. Did you know that they scored 51 points and not only didn't punt, they scored on every single drive except for the final kneel down?
Wow, that was an epic performance. And Michael Thomas is just really crushing everyone. He's Drew amazing. Brees is... I saw that he had an 88% completion percentage on Sunday, which is absolutely incredible. He set a record last year for completion percentage, and this year he's on pace to break that record again.
It's incredible. He did pass Favre, right, for touchdown passes, right. I think. So he's at the top. Or yards, okay, yards, okay. And so he's just climbing the record books. And I believe Michael Thomas has caught 90% of his targets this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, it helps when your quarterback is completing 80% of his passes. They're laying 9 points this weekend against Philadelphia.
That's incredible.
It seems like a high number, but I believe they could probably cover it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we put that in our notes for later, but honestly, if I look at the index, that's a game I would target. I can't bet against the Saints right now. It's impossible.
Yeah, 9 points is a lot to lay, especially against the reigning Super Bowl champions, but... I'm with you. I think that I would be laying it rather than taking the points.
Absolutely. They're at home, too. All right. Well, let's. We didn't get any questions in the mailbag. We encourage all of our listeners to send something, even if it's just a random thought, because a lot of times I have those random thoughts, and I text Action. I'm like, hey, what does this mean? I don't understand. And this guy knows everything, so it really helps. So let's roll right into the college football recap. We had a good old-fashioned shootout in the Big 12 with Oklahoma beating Oklahoma State 48-47, didn't we?
Yeah, the Sooners just cannot stop anyone right now.
Oh, terrible defense.
And as good as their offense is, their defense is certainly going to hold them back, and I don't see how they can beat West Virginia with that defense.
Although I'm really looking forward to that game because it's going to be just a laser light show. You know, I don't know what the total will be on that, but maybe around 70. 75?
Higher. Wow. 80, 85.
That is awesome. Northwestern, man, they came through in the clutch. The Big Ten had a couple big games. First of all, Northwestern beating Iowa. That gives them the Big Ten West title. They'll be playing in the Big Ten title game. And then Ohio State, they pulled off a big win at Michigan State.
Yeah, what an ugly game that was. These were two classic Big Ten-style games, mm-hmm. and interesting the juxtaposition, the defense in the Big Ten versus all of the offense and lack of defense in the Big 12.
Right, right.
It just kind of cracks me up, but a huge win for Northwestern, and they've now locked up the Big Ten West, and they'll go into Indianapolis and probably get beaten down by Michigan.
I wonder what that future line is, because that's probably not looking great, but... Hey, God bless. You know, Fitzgerald's a great coach. I don't love this team, but he's such a good coach. He gets them to play really hard.
And this Ohio State team keeps squeaking by, and they do have a chance to make it to that playoff still. If they can run the table, beat Michigan, and win the Big Ten championship, they could sneak in there.
All they
got to
do is
spot.
Beat Michigan. So, yeah, you're right. You're
well, then
right.
Northwestern.
Oh, that's true. Good point. That's a fair point. Well, one of our darlings, at least my darlings, the Fresno State Bulldogs, they let me down, not just on Bet Online, but they got caught by the Blue Turf in Boise. They were up 17-3 in the third quarter, and they ended up losing 24-17.
Ugh. Yeah, I couldn't stay awake for that one as much as I wanted to, but I went to bed and they were up 17-3.
Yeah.
You and I were texting, and I thought that one was going to come through. But turns out their defense really just couldn't get all the stops they needed. They looked good in the first half.
They did.
But Boise came out with Mark Rippon's kid and won the game.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame. But, you know, hey, good for Rippon's kid. I mean, he played well. And, I mean, that blue turf used to always be money. It's been a little bit tarnished lately, but it's good that they came up with a big win and knocked off Fresno. So they're back in the top 25.
Yeah, and we still have Utah State, our other darling. So hopefully they can come through for us and get into that New Year's Six Bowl.
We want that. We want that. So LSU, in typical LSU fashion, they covered, or they failed to cover, right?
Yeah, failed to cover in dramatic fashion. I'm not sure if you saw the end of the game on Saturday.
I didn't.
I had Arkansas plus 13, I believe, and the running back, Brissett, was LSU had the ball up 7, was looking to kill the game off in typical fashion, just running down the clock. There was about a minute and a half left, and they're getting into the green zone, and Brissett breaks off a huge run and could have scored easily, and thankfully for me, dives down inside the 6-yard line. There's still like 45 seconds left, so I'm thinking, okay, Coach O, smart guy, he's definitely going to take a couple of knees here in the game, and I'm going to cash my winnings. What do? Line up for another running play. And Brissett again fails to oblige Coach O, and he dives down inside the five.
Twice
in a row.
Wow.
So they line up again for a third time. And this time he actually ran into the line. It looked like trying to score. And Arkansas stopped him, and the clock ran out, and I won the bet.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I did hear something about the kneel down. I didn't put it together, but, man, Coach O doesn't understand, you know, about the spread. Come on, man.
Yeah.
He was trying to cover, I guess, on his end.
It was wild. I've never seen anything like it. And I got to be honest, I'll say it was a bad beat. I feel bad for anyone who had LSU in that game because it was a shocking end.
That's hilarious. All right. And then we have Michigan. We talked about, well, actually, no, Michigan. We didn't talk about them. They won the game against Rutgers, but that 39.5, that was a big number, and they couldn't cover it against Rutgers. That's too bad.
Yeah, that defense is tough, and I really expected them to shut out Rutgers, but they broke off a 70 or 80 yard run and got on the score sheet, and they lost the game 42-7, but won some money for Vegas against Duffel Bag Better.
That's right. That's right. And then Tom Herman, maybe he's broken the curse. He was playing in Lubbock, Texas Tech. I kind of like Texas Tech in this game, but it looks like they were able to actually win that game and cover the number at 41-34.
Yeah, you and I talked about it last week. We both like Texas Tech, but obviously Alan Bowman being out makes that offense a little bit different. Although I did catch a little bit of the game, and Jet Duffy looked pretty good in his stead. And that was a wild shootout. Texas came down and under a minute left, and Ellinger threw a touchdown to win the game. So big win for Texas and Tom Herman, and it looks like he's going to be a favorite again this week.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's a favorite again. If we take a look at our S&P Plus rankings changes, we've got Minnesota. They shot up 23 points with their win from 76 to 53. Syracuse is up 19 spots from 58 to 39. Jason Ross will be happy. TCU falls down 19 spots from 48 to 67. And then your Boilers, ugh, they dropped 15 spots from 25 to 40. What happened there?
Well, the Minnesota Golden Gophers got them. that was an ugly game. The snow was coming down. The new defensive coordinator, it was a perfect storm.
That's too bad. Crying shame. Our Fresno State Bulldogs, they lost to Boise. They do drop to ninth, but they're still in the top 10. Our top five now is a little bit different from last week. We've got Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Michigan, and Oklahoma. Notre Dame is now sixth, and Central Florida is seven. So any surprises there? That's pretty much what we expected.
No, not really. I think it is interesting how the S&P Plus has Notre Dame so low compared to that college football playoff ranking, which should be coming out sometime later tonight. But I expect the top four is going to be unchanged with Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Notre Dame yet again this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. Obviously, at some point, Georgia and Alabama will play, kind of knocking one out of the playoff, so it fixes itself on the field. Maybe something crazy can happen. Notre Dame can lose. But even if they lose one, they might stay in there.
That's true. They do have a tough spot this week at Syracuse out in Yankee Stadium. We'll talk about that later, too.
All right. So what spots are you in this week, action, for week 12?
Well, going back to the midweek Maction, tomorrow night, we got a big one. The Miami, Ohio team travels to Northern Illinois, and Miami, Ohio is catching 6 points. I saw it opened up at 7 on Sunday, and I really wish I could have jumped on that, but I couldn't get Wi-Fi inside the Indianapolis Colts Stadium. Damn.
Too bad. But you still like them with the 6.
Yeah, Northern Illinois obviously has a superior defense. Mm-hmm. They are 13th ranked, but this Miami quarterback, Gus Ragland, has been pretty impressive the past couple of weeks, and I expect that Gus will have some success. NIU's offense is horrible, though, ranking near the bottom in all offensive categories, 126th in passing and 128th out of 130 in explosiveness. I expect it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game, and I see some value on Miami at +6. The S&P Plus has this one as a 2-point margin, so I'll be jumping on the Red Hawks.
That's quite a bit of value there for you. +4, that's good. Although DeKalb, you know, they'll be rocking out there.
Yeah, it should be pretty frigid, too, tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's freezing here in Chicago. All right, Minnesota, +3 versus Northwestern. And you also like the money line bet. Why against Northwestern here? They just won the Big Ten West, right?
Yeah, that's exactly my handicap. Northwestern they're in the barn. I mean,
they need to win.
Had a huge win at Iowa last weekend, and now they have to travel to Minneapolis.
Yep.
Temperatures are expected to be well below freezing at kickoff. And this one just kind of jumped out at me when I saw it come up on Sunday night. Northwestern is actually rated below Minnesota in the S&P Plus. And if you look at the differential, this one should be a 7-point spread favorite for Minnesota.
Right. At home.
So it appears to be 10 off. I'm going to take the field goal on the Golden Gophers, and I expect that they'll win this game.
Money line spread. There you go. You got to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you there. I think that's a big letdown spot for Northwestern, so it's a smart play.
And we mentioned the new defensive coordinator is obviously making some headway with this team. They took that Boilermaker offense and just shut them down on Saturday.
And they've been a high-flying team all year, so. All right, our next game, we're both on this one. UAB plus 15.5 at Texas A&M. UAB obviously is a team that most, you know, headline SEC fans may not know about, but in the S&P Plus, they're a really good team. We've got them rated pretty high, and I think this is way too many points, even though it's at Texas A&M. UAB is, I've got them, what, 10 spots below A&M? This is going to be a great game, a tight game. I'm definitely with you on this one.
Yeah, this is kind of a look-ahead spot for Texas A&M, too. Obviously not an SEC opponent.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are probably going to be looking over UAB to LSU next weekend on deck. And I'll add, too, another angle I've got here is these UAB Blazer kids are in SEC country.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they might have a small chip on their shoulder for not being recruited by the bigger SEC schools?
And
even though they're 9-1 and have wrapped up the division and Conference USA, they're going to come out here to prove a point against the Tigers on Saturday, and they're catching over 2 touchdowns. This is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, it's almost like an early bowl game for them, right? I mean, they won their conference. They can stick it to an SEC team. And on top of that, almost all the SEC teams put these quote-unquote cream puffs on the schedule for this week for whatever reason. They kind of went across the board and say, hey, we're all going to play lower-tier teams. This is the one team that you got to watch out for. They probably will regret scheduling this team.
I think so. This reminds me a lot of that bowl game last year, UCF and Auburn. When Auburn's season was basically over, they went to the bowl game and they got crushed by UCF.
That's right. That's right. I like that. Another game we're both on is Notre Dame. You mentioned it briefly. Notre Dame is a 9-point favorite against Syracuse. I didn't realize it's at Yankee Stadium. That's exciting. So that'll be a big show. Hopefully Book will be back for the Irish this weekend.
Yep. Book's playing.
And to me, this is, look, Syracuse is a good team. They're a quality opponent. However, Notre Dame's in a different class. And I just look at the S&P. This is a big, you know, big differential. And that 9 points just isn't enough.
Yeah, it was clear to me that the Irish were looking ahead to Syracuse last weekend when they held Book out of that contest versus Florida State.
They did.
And obviously, they didn't need him because they covered that number easily. And Ian Book's back in the game, and he is going to be taking this Syracuse team to the woodshed. Eric Dungy, the Syracuse quarterback, has been pretty good this year, without a doubt. But this Notre Dame defense is stellar, they rank 7th in defending explosiveness, and that's really Syracuse's calling card. So I expect that they'll be able to handle Eric Dungy and the Orangemen.
All right, we got that together. The next game you've noted, you like Miami. They're 3.5-point favorites at Virginia Tech. You know, early in the year, Virginia Tech was one of the teams I liked because their defense, it appears they don't play any anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do you have in this handicap action?
Well, that you just nailed it right on the head. This one is purely a fade of that Virginia Tech defense. Mm-hmm. They are awful. And Miami obviously has not looked that impressive the past few weeks. But I will say, even though they lost to Georgia Tech, their running defense really held up a lot better than I expected that they would against that triple option. And I think they're going to be able to hold Virginia Tech down and put up plenty of points themselves.
Gotcha. You had to put it on here. I actually noted it myself. Utah State, they are our darling, but they're 26-point favorites at my alma mater, close to my heart, but I got to agree with you. Utah State is a juggernaut. They're going into Fort Collins, and they're going to rip them up. The Rams haven't had a great year, and all I can say is hopefully it won't be a complete slaughter. It'll just cover, you know, with 27 points or something.
Maybe win by 27. Yeah. Are you the kind of guy who never bets on or against your team?
I was thinking about it strongly. As you might have saw my spreadsheet, I do have this game listed as a game to pick. I haven't been able to pull the trigger yet on Bet Online, but I probably will. It brings a tear to my eyes.
Well, you know, a lot of people will say they never bet on their teams because they don't like to root against them or whatever. But I am in the opposite camp where I feel like I know my teams more so inside and out than any other team in the country. Mm-hmm. So if I see an angle on my team or against my team, I have no hesitation to fire.
I got you. It makes sense. I mean, I did lose when I picked the Bears earlier this year, but yeah, I got you.
This Utah State offense mm-hmm. is really good. Seventh ranked in the S&P Plus, and they're going up against the 119th ranked defense of your Colorado State Rams. They have a +2 net yards per play, and it's -1.6 for the Rams. I think that Utah State could probably name the final score in this one.
I agree with you. It's going to be a rough one. So hold out, Rams. It'll be a better day someday ahead. You also like these kind of off the wall. We're talking kind of in that same vein in terms of SEC. You talked about Kentucky already. You like Middle Tennessee State +14 at Kentucky.
Yeah, it looks like we're fading a lot of SEC teams this mm-hmm. weekend. That Middle Tennessee State Blue Raider squad is actually pretty good, and mm-hmm. They have a competent defense, ranking 31st in marginal efficiency on defense.
Okay.
And all they've got to do here is limit Benny Snell in the running game, because as we've seen the past couple of weeks, the Wildcats cannot pass the ball.
Right.
They're catching 2 touchdowns on the road at Kentucky, and Kentucky is obviously still in the letdown. I expect that they're going to come out flat again. And the quarterback for Middle Tennessee State, Brent Stockstill, is a senior with lots of experience, and I think they'll be able to keep this one close and cover that number.
Kentucky all year hasn't been able to cover big numbers anyway, even when we were on – at least I was on top of them. They let me down in a couple key spots where they were, you know, double-digit favorites. So 14 points is a lot for Kentucky, so I'm on you with this one. Rolling right along, I don't know if you're going to go with me on this one, but LSU is hosting Rice. Rice is terrible. However, Rice is getting 43.5 points. The total is 51.5. So even though Rice is terrible, I haven't seen LSU score 44 points all year. So I have a problem with the line, and I already bet it, so I'm on it, but I actually got it at 44. So we'll see how it works. What do you think about that handicap?
Wow, good to get in early at 44, a key mm-hmm. number. I'm with you here. LSU obviously has a pretty poor offense. It is a little difficult to bet on the worst team in the country.
The Rice, are pretty bad.
Rice Owls are definitely 130 out of 130. But, you know, as we mentioned earlier with Texas A&M, they have a look-ahead spot here, too, facing Texas A&M next week. And I don't see any reason that LSU wants to run this score up. The running back, Brissett, obviously showed us last week that he doesn't care about fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the pick.
Yeah.
And I'm with you.
All right. Sounds good. Well, money's already out there, so. Okay, well, let's roll on into the NFL segment now. Let's look at our key metrics that we've been looking at, the net yards per play. So the top five has basically been about the same with a little bit of changes. You've got the Chargers at 1.3, Pittsburgh at 1.1. They just keep going up. Kansas City at 0.9, the Rams at 0.9, and what do you know? The Bears at 0.8.
Yeah, it looks like the YPP is following the WEGS index and the Bears team. And hey, I got to be honest with you, the Bears have been looking great the past couple of weeks. But as we texted the other day, that strength of schedule has got to come into question a little bit, which obviously the YPP doesn't take into account. But the Steelers obviously jumped the other two here, and they are moving up this list too and playing better week in, week out.
They're playing great football. The Steelers are, I think they won 5 straight now. They're just rolling. The Bears, we talked about this, they have a cream puff schedule. I know that. I'm not going to get too excited. We'll see if they can really play ball against a quality defense in Minnesota this weekend. Mm-hmm. But hey, you got to ride the tidal wave. And to be honest with you, the rest of their schedule isn't that hard going forward. I think they might be a playoff team.
I agree.
The bottom 5 teams in the net yards per play are, shocker, Arizona, -1.2, even though they played decent against Kansas City. Oakland, -1.1. They're terrible. Detroit, -0.9. Buffalo, -0.7. And Miami, -0.7. That's even with Buffalo having a great week, huh?
Yeah, Buffalo had a great weekend. Like you mentioned, Arizona played well, too. And I just got a feel for this Miami Dolphins team. Yeah. Early in the year, they looked so good, but mm-hmm. they've been absolutely decimated by injuries. And a couple more to add to the list this week.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like we're going to have a futility bowl this weekend. Arizona and Oakland play each other.
I wonder if they're going to play to lose. You know, they're playing for the number one pick probably. So they're at Arizona. I think Arizona's a better team. So we'll see what happens. Just a quick review of the WEGS index. As we mentioned, guess who's number one? The Bears. They're number one in my index now. I don't doctor it, everybody. That's just the numbers.
Sure.
The number two are the Rams. There's a tie at three between the Chargers and the Steelers. And then number five are the Chiefs. So pretty similar to the yards per play metrics, actually. And then I just note that the Saints are eighth. And everybody probably is like, oh, the Saints, I think they're the best team. It's just some of their metrics in terms of defense hold them down. Over time, I'm sure that'll weigh itself out. They are rising up. Any comments on the WEGS index?
I like it. I think it looks good. Obviously, I agree with you. I think the Saints should be a lot higher, but mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from. And to the eye test, though, that defense has been playing a lot better. Mm-hmm. And they should have a good test against the Eagles this week.
Absolutely. We got some key injuries this week. Cooper Kupp for the Rams is out for the year with an ACL tear. That's too bad. I noted that Philly's cornerbacks, there are three guys injured. I don't know if any of those guys are going to come back and play. Two of them are questionable. One is out. So the Saints really should feast again on that secondary. It's whether they can stop the run of that Saints team. Mm-hmm. James Conner's in the concussion protocol, so we'll have to see if he's going to practice. A.J. Green is out again this week. It says week to week, but I think he's out officially. Marvin Jones hurt his knee this week for the Lions. Another guy. And you don't have on here Devontae Parker. You mentioned him from Miami. He's hurt with a shoulder injury.
And Jakeem Grant, too, is also day-to-day. Although the Dolphins do have a bye this week. Those two guys may be able to get healthy.
Good point. So a lot of key injuries you got to look out for. And, you know, hopefully that'll give you an angle later in the week when you see practice reports. So what spots do you like this week, action, for the NFL?
Well, I teased this earlier, but I'm going to be jumping on the home Thursday night team again. That Seattle Seahawks squad is mm-hmm. only laying 2.5 versus Green Bay.
Right.
And that running game dominated again on Sunday against the LA Rams. They racked up 273 rushing yards against that stout Rams D. Mm-hmm. And I expect more of the same on Thursday night, which is really going to help keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, which will go a long way in covering this field goal.
I believe that Russell Wilson had 91 of those yards, maybe 92 of those mm-hmm. yards rushing.
Yep.
He actually added that, especially against the Rams, and he played great. I think they're just a really good football team. I know their record may not show it. They've actually kind of had some bad luck in playing a really tough schedule. And Green Bay is no slouch either. However, they're coming home. You know, they get that 12th man. You know, they get the flag flying, and Ridgeway can jump up and down about that. But more importantly, I think Green Bay has just kind of gone through the gauntlet lately. Miami was a kind of a brief respite from the schedule that they have. It's a long trip to Seattle, and I agree with this handicap for sure. Another game we both like is the Titans +3 at Indianapolis. Indianapolis playing really good football, and that's your Colts. However, the Titans, man, they're just a different team right now, especially since the bye. Mm-hmm. It should be a great football game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching this one. We touched on earlier that Indianapolis offensive line has been playing really well, mm-hmm. and they're finally getting the run game going, which they haven't had in probably 5+ years.
Right.
But on the same side, that Tennessee Titans team is looking really good, and Mariota is finally healthy. He's accurate with his throws. He's incorporating that run game a little bit more. Deion Lewis, and then, like you said, the Thunder coming in, Derrick Henry in the second half. I think that Tennessee is obviously catching the field goal here. This is going to be a tight game, and these coin toss kind of games, I think that you're always getting value taking the field goal, especially in the division.
What do you think about the total in this game? I've got it at 48.5. Both these teams have actually scored a little bit, but you know, the defenses, Tennessee has the number one scoring defense right now in the NFL. Indianapolis is playing pretty good defense. What do you think about the over-under play on that one?
I would lean towards the over, to be honest with you. Playing inside that dome tends to be a little bit more high scoring. And although I agree Tennessee has played some slower pace games, and obviously they're probably more to the under this year, mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be some scoring in this one. And especially at 48.5, 49 may be a little bit different, but that key number is key in this case.
Okay, good information. All right, our next game, Dallas +3 at the Falcons. I'm on this one. I like Dallas's D. I've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. We talked about Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith. They're playing really good football. The Falcons can score against anybody. However, I think that they might be facing a team that just plays really good defense against the pass. I actually think the way you beat Dallas is on the ground, and it doesn't seem like the Falcons are committed to that. Now, maybe they'll switch strategies and obviously I could be wrong here. The over-under is also set at 48. I think that's actually in play here too. Another dome, but what do you think about that action?
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating, that total. The Falcons defense has obviously been really bad this year. And Dallas is running the ball, and obviously Dallas's defense is good. So that's probably a total I'll be staying away from. Mm-hmm. But I'm right there with you on the side. I actually put in Dallas yesterday at 3.5. And I'm looking here at my odds page, and there's one book that still has that 3.5. So if you like it, jump on it.
Definitely. I should have done that. I think I got 3. The other game that we'll talk about a little bit later is Houston at Washington. So let's look at the NFL Survivor segment. This is late in the season. If you're this far, God bless you. It's tough to make it this far in a Survivor pool. I've never done it. I actually thought about a risky pick. I'm not sure how you'd feel about this, but what about Arizona at home against the Raiders?
I like it a lot.
It looks like the Raiders are kind of folded up their tents. The other one I would say is the Saints over Philly. To me, I know it's a 9-point spread. Forget about the spread, but in Survivor, the Saints seem like a sure thing.
Mm-hmm. I was also going to mention this could be a good week to use the Chargers at home against Denver.
Sure.
That Chargers team looks really good, and this is a huge divisional game for them. If they want to have any chance at knocking off Kansas City, they need to get this one.
Agreed.
Another thing that I wanted to mention is the historic total in the Kansas City LA Rams game.
Incredible.
Just came out this afternoon that the game is now being moved from Mexico City back to LA due to the horrible field conditions. I had seen a lot of money come in on that under after the photos came out about the turf in Mexico City. But now the books have reopened it, and that total is back up to where it opened at 63.5.
So if people bet that prior to that, are they still stuck to it, or do they get their money refunded?
All of the media that I've seen this afternoon is showing that all the bets are void.
Okay.
At most books. I expect that everyone will probably handle it the exact same way.
Right.
But each one usually has house rules, and typically a change of venue is a voided bet.
Okay, good. Because, those pictures were, I guess there was a concert and a couple games or something. It was really bad. I mean, it's a shame because it was going to be this huge game in Mexico City, probably a huge crowd, but hey, man, you got to have better facilities.
Yeah, and I should also note that as the betting was going this morning, that line was ticking down to 2.5 or so, and now that it's reopened in L.A., I'm looking at Kansas City plus 3.5.
Oh, wow, so they got a little extra points there.
I think I might like that hook.
That can hook's important.
Can we reevaluate the head-to-head line?
We can if you want to.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, let's get to our head-to-head segment. Good segue action. This guy knows what he's doing. The first game we want to pick is Iowa State at Texas. Texas is favored by 3 points. I've been on the Cyclones. They did not win me money last week. I had 14.5 in that game. They went to 14, so I missed that key number, that hook. But this week, they're at Texas. They're actually tied in the standings in the Big 12. I like this Iowa State team. They've won 5 in a row, and I think they're going to take out Texas. I might even look at the money line bet here.
Wow, interesting. On the road, Brock Purdy has been pretty good for Iowa State. But as you mentioned, they failed to cover against Baylor last weekend. Mm-hmm. And Texas looked really good in that game in Lubbock.
Right.
Sam Ehlinger has been a pretty competent quarterback. And Tom Herman finally got off the schneid as favorite last week.
He did.
So I'll take the Longhorns -3.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see what happens. Our next game is kind of a game maybe is off a lot of people's radar in the American. Cincinnati's at Central Florida. Central Florida, I don't know how many games they've won in a row, like 20 or something. They've won almost 2 seasons in a row, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were undefeated last year and then undefeated again this year.
So this team is really good. They're laying 7 at home, 7-point favorites at home. What say you on this one, Action?
Well, I think that UCF is a team on a mission, and I know that they feel they should be in the conversation for the college football playoff. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition last year, and it's unlikely to happen again this year. But they're going to be trying to put a pounding on Cincinnati this weekend to prove a point. Week in and week out, they want to put points on the board. And that quarterback, Milton, has been looking good all year. He's got 21 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and I expect that they'll put a number up on Cincinnati.
I gotcha. I'm going to stick with the Bearcats here. I think the Bearcats are a really good football team. If UCF wasn't in this conference, you'd be talking about Cincinnati. I think that I would like the hook here, which I saw online. But in our head-to-head, we got 7 points. I think it's going to be a rough and tumble game. Cincinnati plays a tough brand of football. And as much as I think UCF will win the game, I think they'll keep it within the 7. So, all right, let's jump to the NFL. We've talked briefly about Houston in the past, and Houston is going to Washington. Houston's favorite on the road, coming off the bye by 2.5 points. Washington did win last week, despite our discussion about Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that Washington offensive line.
Yeah, exactly. What say you on this one, Action?
Well, I took Tampa Bay last week on the podcast here and in real life and lost.
That's right.
That Washington Redskins team has just pulled rabbits out of its head every week. It seems like they're against the public every week, and every week they tend to cover. And obviously that offensive line didn't really hamper them too much to Tampa Bay. Although I should mention Tampa Bay had 500 yards of offense and 3 points. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was a little bit of an outlier. But my handicap here is really the Houston Texans. They have won coin flip after coin flip after coin flip. And what would this line be had they lost several of those games?
Sure.
In my estimation, it would probably be Washington as favorites. So using that as my handicap, I think it's a little bit off. And I'll take the Redskins plus 2.5 at home.
Okay. I think that, you know, obviously Houston's won 6 games in a row. They're coming in off the bye. They get a little extra prep time. We'll see. I do believe that Washington's defense, they've been good up until last week. 500 yards against Tampa, that's not a good sign. Houston's probably better. To me, it's the defensive line for Houston against the Redskins' offensive line. If that offensive line is so depleted and beat up, you've got Watt and Clowney coming to town. I think they're going to make short work of that offense. I think basically that Washington's going to have a hard time scoring at all in this game. So I like Houston quite a bit in this game with that 2.5. So that's my handicap.
Damn, that's a good handicap.
All right, our last one is the game we just mentioned. Kansas City is now at the Rams officially in L.A. The Rams are 3-point favorites on our head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
But the line is going up because it's a home game effectively now. So Kansas City, this is going to be the game of the year, theoretically. They've had this line up on Bet Online for 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I mean, it's been teased up for sure. I got to stick with the Rams. They are my number two team in the index, although Kansas City's not far behind. It's tough to pick a side. These are two great offenses. I just got to believe that the Rams' defense is a little bit better than Kansas City's. I do think the way Kansas City can win is by running the ball like Seattle did, and also if Mahomes actually gets out of the pocket and runs a little bit. And the other thing is the Rams don't cover the tight end very well, as Travis Kelce. But I do think at home the Rams will win this game and cover that 3 points.
Okay. Well, I can't wait for this one. 2-9-1 teams going head-to-head on Monday night in a total of 63.5. It's going to be an epic game. I don't think that Rams defense is playing as well as they should be on paper.
Right.
And Andy Reid got rid of Marcus Peters in the offseason. I think that he probably knew something.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not playing well.
If anyone in this country knows how to attack Marcus Peters, it's going to be Andy Reid.
I agree.
So I think that Kansas City is going to have some success on that side of the ball. Obviously, the two defenses are the units that have points to prove this Monday night.
Exactly.
And whichever defense shows up better on Monday will probably win this game. I think it's going to be close, and I'll gladly take that field goal in my pocket.
All right. And just so you Side Action fans out there, Action and I already discussed, we are going to watch this game somewhere. We will tweet it out, so you can join us and watch that game as we go head-to-head and probably have other action on the game.
I'm sure there's a Four Corners bar somewhere in this great city that will have us.
That's right, Four Corners. Little plug for you. All right, let's talk about these futures that you're talking about. Le'Veon Bell officially not going to play for the Steelers. You've got the futures for the other teams. The Jets at 3-1. Interesting. Raiders at 5-1. Tampa Bay at 7-1. The Eagles at 7-1. The Packers at 7.5-1. The 49ers at 9-1, Colts at 9-1, Baltimore at 9-1, Texans at 12-1, Seattle at 16-1, Steelers again back on there at 16-1, and the Patriots at 33-1. What do you like out of that list?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the Steelers are a long shot, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that he's burned a few bridges there, and they're going to be reluctant to sign him. And why would they need to with James Conner carrying the mail?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to add here, this is the odds for his team in 2019.
Yeah.
So
okay,
next season, obviously, he's not playing this year.
Right.
I think that the Jets and the Raiders are both very interesting plugs here. The Raiders should have some cap space, although sure. Everything I've read says that they're not going to have any cash until they actually move to Las Vegas. Oof. So maybe a long shot for them, but Green Bay would be cool. San Francisco would be a good landing spot for him. I think that Kyle Shanahan should definitely be able to drop some packages for him. Mm-hmm. To be honest, it's fun to talk about, but I'm not going to be putting my hard-earned cash on any of these. How about you?
I won't either. I won't put money down, but I think the three teams that I'd be really interested in are your Colts mm-hmm. at 9-1. They've got that offensive line now secured. Marlon Mack's okay. He's played well, but he never stays healthy. And I think with him and Andrew Luck, I mean, can you imagine that? That'll be an incredible pairing. The other one I really like at 12-1 are the Texans. Lamar Miller's been a disappointment. Houston, can you imagine? I mean, come on, Watson and Bell on the same team. Hopkins. Yeah. I mean, that makes it almost another kind of triplet situation like they had with the Steelers. So that's exciting. Plus, both those teams, the AFC South is so competitive. So they're going to be looking to try to find an edge. The last team I would think that may consider it, but I don't think they'd pay him, are the Patriots. I mean, of course, they would use him. But they have a young back in Michelle. So those are the ones I'd be interested in. I think I would bet on your Colts first.
Ooh, I hope that doesn't happen. It just gave me shades back to the Trent Richardson trade.
That set
our franchise back a few years. Oh, and, you God. Know, I think that him sitting out has proven that running backs just don't have any value in today's NFL.
They don't.
The Steelers said, you can sit out. That's fine. We're just not going to pay you. And we're going to continue to put you on the franchise tag because we have no interest in a long-term deal. And we haven't, by the way, we have another running back who can do it just as well as you.
Yeah. I think on a couple teams that it's not true. I mean, I think Fournette's shown that he's definitely mm-hmm. valuable. Zeke for Dallas as well last year. But in a system like Pittsburgh where they are so diversified on offense, I mean, James Conner's come in and obviously he's got good skills. I agree with you. You got to. Le'Veon Bell probably, you know, at least top two back in the league, and he can sit out and they didn't miss a beat. They're 6-2-1.
Yeah. I mean, if we could clone Quentin Nelson, I would take him over Le'Veon Bell 100 times over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about college hoops now. Just some observations that we had last week when we were taping. There was the big matchups, Kansas over Michigan State and then Duke over Kentucky. I know you saw that game. We were tweeting and texting. Man, Duke is good.
Wow. It was utter domination. I had some cash on Kentucky last week, and it was gone within the first 15 minutes. Zion Williamson and Cam Reddish just destroyed Kentucky.
Yeah, I didn't know when I made my preseason pick of the champion. I wasn't that invested in Duke. I just, you know, kind of on paper thought about it. That team looked incredible in person, or not in person, when I saw them on TV. And this is game one. I mean, they're going to get better, especially under Coach K's tutelage. So they're forced to be reckoned with. I would imagine that the odds, yeah, as you said, went down to 3-1. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their odds got slashed after that game. And I was kind of hoping that you and I could redo our final four picks. I'll swap out Kentucky for Duke.
Too late. You also have noted the defensive teams are kind of on the rise. You got Texas and Kansas noted. What do you have about that?
Yeah, early on this season, I've just been following the KenPom defensive ratings mm-hmm. just because I like defense. And I noted Texas and Kansas. Obviously, Virginia is in that conversation.
Sure.
The Tennessee Volunteers are playing some serious defense, too. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be using these metrics as we move forward here in the first couple of weeks to identify some under teams. Good defenses combined with slower pace, which KenPom has up on the site, too,
right.
is going to lead me on some unders going forward.
That's smart. Smart work. What spots are you eyeing this week, if you have any?
So speaking of which, I mentioned earlier, I was in attendance on Friday night to see the Indiana Hoosiers play some serious defense. Mm-hmm. And this Sunday, they have a big game where they travel to Arkansas, another team in the KenPom ratings that are in top 50 defensive metrics.
Okay.
So obviously, there's no line out for this game, but I'm guessing it's going to open at somewhere 145, 146 range.
Okay.
And I'm going to be looking to place a bet on the under in this game if I can get that number.
I gotcha. So game in the 70s, you're thinking lower. That makes sense. One of the things I do that I'll be doing more, and we'll talk a little bit more later in the podcast and other episodes about, I do a pretty serious comparison of KenPom versus the AP. Kind of what I've been doing with the S&P Plus. I've been doing that for a couple of years now, and it's really helped at least come tournament time. And basically, I look at what you're talking about, the offense and defensive efficiency plus the overall rating. And oftentimes, you'll find that the top 25 is obviously following the flavor of the week or people that are really hot on, you know, certain teams, especially East Coast bias. So you can kind of dissect it a little bit better, cut to the quick and figure out which teams are overrated. And I'm going to take a look at that and see how that's going to affect some betting. Maybe there'll be some artificial lines based on popularity.
Yeah, obviously odds makers set these lines week in and week out to get the public to go a certain way, and they know which teams are going to be popular in the public's perception, and there's going to be value going against them without a doubt.
Absolutely. Great. Okay, last note, the NBA, there was a big trade. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, on Friday or Saturday morning, the Timberwolves decided that they're finally going to trade Jimmy Butler, the diva that is, to a very dramatic team, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yep.
He and Justin Patton are going to the Sixers in exchange for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless, and a 22 second round pick. Interesting add-in there at the end.
Yeah.
And the Philadelphia Sixers' odds to win the title have been slashed from 30-1 down to 16-1 at the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook.
Interesting decision there. I think I've heard a lot of different things that maybe they passed up four number ones from another team, and you know, Miami had a better package. For Butler, it's probably the best fit, best chance at a championship. However, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, there. I mean, somebody's got to back down. You've got the young guys who are supremely talented, and Butler, it didn't work out in Minnesota. Obviously, I'm a Bulls fan, so seeing Jimmy act this way is really bothersome to me. I hope that he kind of gets his head right and kind of just falls in with the team, because this is a team like, I mean, the odds reflect it. They should be contending at least for the East. And at this point, I've heard a lot of talk on VSiN that after the Warriors, that there's probably the next four best teams are in the East.
Yeah, I agree. The Celtics have been playing really well. Toronto Raptors have been awesome. And the Indiana Pacers have been playing well, too.
And your Bucks.
And the I can't forget the Bucks. Thank you.
It's your team.
One thing that I'm going to be looking for after this trade is the star player effect.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Butler is going to suit up on Wednesday night this week, and I expect that the odds makers are probably going to be putting some big numbers up next to the 76ers name, and it's going to take some time for this team to build chemistry.
I
think there's going to be value in the next week and a half in fading the 76ers, just because people are going to expect Jimmy Butler to come out and light the world on fire.
Yeah, I agree. It makes sense. It's a good angle. One other thing we didn't put here as the note, but I just want to mention separately from the Butler trade, is that with the Steph Curry injury, it appears that Golden State's not going to be as high-flying as normal. So maybe something we can look at as another angle as we go forward and talk a little bit more basketball as college football kind of gives way.
Absolutely. Those Warriors play at a much slower pace when Steph Curry's not in the lineup.
Absolutely.
I've been looking at unders and played it tonight, actually, with the Warriors.
Attaboy. Read my mind. All right. Well, I think that wraps up episode 12 of the Side Action Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for following us and rating us. We'd love some more ratings. Even if you've done it once, do it again. We can use more, or do actions trick to unsubscribe and subscribe.
Yeah, unsubscribe, subscribe again. And please help us do some second layer marketing. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends and your family and your local bartenders about the sports gambling podcast that you're listening to. Seems like every bar I go into nowadays, I'm hearing somebody chat about gambling and what game they bet on and and what angle they've got. So please help us do some marketing, and we'll help grow the pod even bigger.
Yeah, and join us on Saturday night, or I'm sorry, Sunday night and Monday night. We're going to go watch some games. We decided we'll do that this weekend for football. Probably do that as the college basketball season rolls on. Join us out there. And, you know, that's part of what I love to do, bring people together and talk a little betting. So we'll tweet out where we're going to be and build more following that way. Please follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. And follow me personally at Wegspool on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.